And joining us now is Jennifer Falcon, Communications Director with RACES, Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, a nonprofit that promotes justice by providing free and low-cost legal services to underserved immigrant children, families, and refugees in Texas. Last month, Dave and Charlotte Wilner started a Facebook fundraiser called Reunite an Immigrant Parent with Their Child. The goal was to raise $1,500 for the organization. So far, they have raised $20 million. And Jennifer Falcon joins us from San Antonio. Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I've been reading about your organization because of this incredible fundraiser, and I know that you're completely swamped because of the crisis that's happening. So thank you for taking the time. How exactly are you all dealing with this crisis of about 2,500 children who have been separated from their families?
Well, because the process, you know, we've been doing this for 30 years. Hmm. RACES has been reuniting families for 30 years, and it's not a new problem in this immigration system. It's just one that's been exacerbated by the current administration, making it even harder for us to be able to reunite these families, and they are separating more families. We are essentially just left to our own devices to locate these separated families. The administration, we're representing a man from El Salvador and his six-year-old daughter. They crossed over together and were held together for 24 hours, and she was very upset. So ICE agents essentially told him that they needed to take her because she was so upset and that he would get her after his court date. His court date came along, and then they put the bar a little higher for him and said, once you sign these deportation papers, you'll be able to be reunited with your daughter. They immediately deported him back to El Salvador. He did not know where his daughters were. Luckily, we were connected with him, and we were able to get them on a phone call together. She's still being held in Arizona. It's very heartbreaking.
Is this a story of Arnovis Guidos Portillo?
Yes.
Okay, so the Washington Post had a piece about this. I mean, I read this over the weekend, and I can't stop thinking about it. His six-year-old daughter is Maybelline, and she's in Arizona. He is 26 years old. They were able to talk on the phone, and he's asking her basic questions. How are you doing? Has your hair been brushed? Do you have clean clothes? I mean, this is just horrific. So do we know? I mean, a lot of people are assuming that these children are in Texas, but they have been flown to different parts of the country. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, when the kids landed in New York, he didn't even know they were arriving. And we just got word that there might be some detention centers opening here in Northern California. So do you have a sense of how many kids are where in this country?
No.
Wow.
It's essentially a hide-and-seek game once we even find a parent and they reach out to us. We are not just given lists of, you know, the children who were separated or the parents who were separated. It's just a game of hopefully somebody contacts us and we're able to use our networks and our connections to find these children and at least get them on a phone call with their parents who are still being deported, which makes it even harder to reunite these families.
And we were talking with a journalist on Friday who said he's been doing some digging, and he has no idea how many parents who have been deported still have children in the United States. Do you have a number?
We do not have a number either. ICE and Border Patrol were doing intake, and they weren't even marking people as families. So there are probably parents out there who weren't even marked as a parent, and it's just every passing day makes it harder for us to reunite these families.
I mean, this is still so shocking, Jennifer. So what happens when these parents are held in custody by ICE? Can you give us a sense of how they are separated from their children? And then how is the government deciding, well, let's put that little girl on a plane to California. Let's put that boy on a plane to New York. I mean, how are these decisions being made?
Those are questions you're going to have to ask the administration and DHS and ORR. These are their processes, and essentially, it's just that, you know, it's very difficult for us to be able to find and locate families. We're left to our own devices.
We also, on Friday, spoke about disturbing details about children who are forced to take psychotropic drugs. There are instances of abuse in these jails, in these detention centers. They're like jails for these kids.
They are jails. But they're booked as if they're criminals. We've heard rumors that they are getting mug shots taken. They're fingerprinted. They are booked as if they're children and that, or as if they're criminals, and then these children are sent to court. How can a six-year-old who doesn't even speak English be sent to court without an attorney or anybody to advocate for them? It's absolutely heartbreaking and unjust.
Well, in many cases, they don't speak Spanish. They speak their indigenous languages. I mean, I've been seeing on social media a number of organizations are asking for people in any part of the country who speak these languages to do translation for them.
Yes. To bond a parent out on an ICE bond, which are usually not assigned regularly, that's $7,500. It's not the same bond process as our criminal cases in America. Like, you have to have the cash up front. So that's why we are so thankful for the over $20 million that's been fundraised. But it's a drop in the bucket when we think about going up against the federal government, who has an unlimited amount of money and resources to fight against us. Some of these cases take over 5 years. That's 5 years those parents are separated from their children, and up to $25,000 to represent these cases. Nobody has money to represent that system. So that's why we are so fortunate to have donors who are allowing us to pay these bonds and to represent these people who need free legal system assistance. They're coming here seeking asylum from places that they're running from scared. You know, these children are scared. Mm-hmm. They're looking for asylum and help. And it is not illegal to seek asylum in the United States.
So we have cases of these kids being forced to take drugs. There's cases of sexual abuse. There's cases of neglect. In some cases, they have to do the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't even speak English. In many cases, they do not speak Spanish. What else can you tell us about how these kids are being treated? Is there any new information out there?
Unfortunately, none of this is new. These kids are kept in detention centers where there are physical barriers, but also psychological barriers. They're often put through trainings that are warning children and families not to talk to media, because in the end it will hurt you and your family's application for asylum. I mean, that's psychological warfare.
Well, and in another case, I believe it was in Texas, we just got word that a teenager left the detention center.
Yes, he ran away. I would have to defer you to the administration and ORR to ask what their processes are when a child tries to run away, but it's my belief that staff is not police, and they are not trained to deal with runaways, and I would imagine that it's, you know, they can't just wrestle a kid to the ground. That would put them in a bad legal situation.
Jennifer, there have been protests across the country. People are starting to camp out. In fact, in Portland, Oregon, they've been camping out in front of ICE offices. People are physically trying to stop buses who are taking children to these centers. What would you say is most effective for people who are horrified by this and want to do something?
As a mother, I completely understand the outrage. Unfortunately, I don't believe sitting in front of a bus is, you know, asking, it's probably a little bit scary for the kids. I think that we do need to be organized and very strategic about the actions we're taking. I know that people are doing sit-ins in, you know, politicians' office and things of that nature. I think donate to organizations who are doing this legal work for free for these families, and be sure to call your elected officials and let them know that you are against this and they need to fight back against the administration. There are volunteer for these organizations to put together care packages. There are a lot of ways. Mm.
Well, we are going to continue following this. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, Jennifer, and thank you for your work.
Thank you for having me on.
Jennifer Falcon is Communications Director with Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services. This is a nonprofit that helps refugees and children in Texas. And last month, a Facebook fundraiser wanted to raise $1,500 for the group. And so far, they have raised $20 million. We will continue to follow this. This is Your Call. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar.